Here on the bottom of Mem Amud Aleph, we saw that the Mishnah presents the percentage of reduction from a chavis shel yayin, and according to the Tanakama, it's a shtus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a chomesh. Reason for this deduction is because the inner walls of the barrel absorb some percentage of the yayin. And Gemara says, there's no machlokes between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. They're just addressing different mitzvahs, different realities. According to one explanation of the Gemara that we saw in the previous year, there was a place where they covered the inner lining of the barrel with wax, which doesn't allow for too much absorption, and that gives you the smaller percentage, 1/6, or in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, the large percentage of 1/5, because they would line the inner wall of the barrel with tar, and that allows for a greater amount of blia. The Gemara then suggests a different possibility as to the difference in the barrels themselves. These were made of clay or china earthenware, and some were more porous and they absorbed more. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Some were less porous and they absorbed less. And now the Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, "Bi'asrei de Rabbi Yehuda ramu arboim v'tamnei kuze bedana." They would sell or buy and then sell 48 kuzim, which is a certain measurement of wine in a barrel. And what was the price for this quantity of wine? V'ozil dana b'shisa zuze. And they used to pay a price of 6 zuzim for a dana. 6 zuzim for a dana. So this dana, this barrel, would contain 48 kuz of wine. And at the harvest time, a barrel sold for 6 zuz. Paris Rabbi Yehuda shita bezuza. Rabbi Yehuda was a seller, and he would sell 6 kuzim at a price of a zuz. 6 kuz for one zuz. And now we're turning to Daf Mem Amud Beis. So the Gemara now calculates the interest, the profit, that Rabbi Yehuda would earn through this sale. Dal talsin v'shisa. Let's subtract the first 36 zuz of the wine from the total of 48 zuz. If he sold for 6 zuz, correct? And 6 times 6 is 36. Is then, when he's been paid, he has the income of the 6 zuz that for which he paid for the barrel. Now, the barrel that he paid for had 48 zuz. Once he sold 36 zuz, which is 6 times 6, so 36 kuz out of the 48 kuz in the barrel, if he's selling 6 kuz for 1 zuz, so he sold 36 kuz for 6 zuz, which is the exact price, 6 zuz, that he paid for a barrel of 48 kuz. So basically, he's already been compensated for the 6 zuz that he paid for the barrel, he's left with a profit of 12 kuz. Because again, since he's selling 6 kuz at 1 zuz, and he bought the entire barrel of 48 kuz at 6 zuz, once he sold 38 kuz of the 48 kuz, he's already earned his 6 zuz, which is the amount of money that he paid for the 48 kuz of wine, and therefore he's left with a profit of 12 kuz. But the Gemara says that that's not really his profit. Why? Because the Gemara says, Poshu luhu tresar, but dal tam nishtusi. From the 12 zuz, you have to subtract 8 kuz. From the 12 kuz, you have to subtract 8 kuz. Why? Because 8 kuz, 8 over 48 is 1/6. And from a barrel of wine, 1/6 of the barrel is absorbed into the walls of the barrel. That was the Tanakama that's mentioned in the Mishnah. So that really, you know, the 12 kuz really doesn't exist, because 8 kuz out of those 12 kuz has been absorbed into the barrel, and that's gone. Kiss it goodbye. What he's left with, therefore, Poshulu Arba, is a profit of 4 kuz. Now, 4 kuz over the 48 kuz that he bought the barrel when it was full is 1 over 12. Va'amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Amistakir al Yistakir Yoser al Shtus, that when a person sells, he shouldn't make a profit that's more than 1/6. And Rashi points out that we're talking about, this is Rashi 4 lines from the top, we're talking about Dvarim Sheish Bem Chai Nefesh, mean thing, food stuff, where the maximum profit that the Torah allows you is up to 1/6. Otherwise, there's a din of onah, of overcharging. But yet, Shmuel implies that up to a sixth of a profit, you're allowed to make. And here, Rabbi Yehuda is making a profit of 1/12. That's half of what he's allowed to make a profit of. That doesn't make any sense. Now again, you might say, well, he's not chayav to make a profit of 1/6, but why wouldn't he make a profit of a sixth if he's allowed to? And the Gemara says, Ika gulfe ushmare. His profit is more than 1/6. Why? Because the barrel itself was included in the sale at 6 zuz. In other words, when we said that there was a barrel of 48 kuz of wine, which was sold at the Bimei HaBotzer at 6 zuz, that includes the barrel itself. That has value on the market. And not only that, there's also Shmarayo, which means the Shmarim, the sediments. The sediments also have a market value, and that's included in the sale of the barrel of 48 kuz. The Gemara says, Imkain, Ihochi, if you're calculating profits for Kankanim and Shmarim, then Nofesh Le Tfemishtus. His profit now is more than a sixth. So how could Rabbi Yehuda allow himself a profit of more than 1/6 when Shmuel says that the maximum ceiling profit is 1/6? Beyond that, it's Asur. And the Gemara answers, Ika Tirche, there are other variables that have to be taken into consideration when you consider profits. There are certain expenditures that have to be calculated here. For example, Tirche, what about the Tircha, you know, the physical work of having to measure out for each buyer, you know, the amount that he wants to buy. Let's say he's buying, for example, 6 kuz for 1 zuz. He comes in with a zuz, and now Rabbi Yehuda has to pour out 6 kuz. That's going to take some time. He could have worked at another job during that time, so his time is worth money. And not only that, Udmei Barzenaisa, and also there's money that Rabbi Yehuda has to pay for marketing. Let's say he has to hire someone to announce that you can buy wine, Rabbi Yehuda's wine, here in such and such a place. Or there's another girsa here that indicates that he has to He has to pay someone sheyiko v'sayayin v'yosim v'berez. You have to put a spigot or a turning thing on the top of the barrel. That also has to be paid for. You need a professional for that. So therefore, the final profit that Rabbi Yehuda would take in was more than 1/6 of the wine itself. But since you have to counter and calculate other expenditures, whether it's the value of his work or the value of the cruise, at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda's profit was 1/6, exactly the way Shmuel would have it. Now, Shmuel spoke about the mocher who sells all his schor immediately without torach, and that's where he came up with 1/6. But clearly, when there was torach, then the profit margin would be allowed, according to Shmuel, to be greater than 1/6. Now, the Mishnah, as we continue, im hoya shemen mezukak, and again, we're on daf mem amid beis, eno yotzi lo shmarim. And im hayu kankanim yishonim eino motzilo bela. Now, what does this mean? Shemen mizukok. Let's say there was a clear-cut agreement that the buyer was buying pure, unadulterated shemen zayit without any mixture of sediments. That's what has to be delivered to him by the mocher. And if the sale was with old barrels, which are saturated as far as the ability to absorb, then you cannot subtract the bela, the absorption. The Gemara asks the following question. Is it really true that old barrels did not absorb via efsha de lo bela? There's got to be some minimal amount of absorption, and therefore there should be a subtraction of a certain volume for that corresponds to the bela, to the absorption. Amar Rav Nachman bim mizupafim, the inside of these barrels were tarred, that's zephes, and the Mishnah has already established that there's no blia with zephes. Again, it's a little bit strange as Tosus asks here Dibra Maskim mizupafim, because on Amud Aleph we explain that if you have barrels that the inner lining is with zephes, then they absorb more than, and they're more porous than barrels that are lined with wax. And Tosus answers that here we're talking about kankanim mizupafim yeshanim. These are old tarred barrels which are already nivlu kol tzarkam. They've reached their maximum saturation of absorption of blia. Abai Omar Afilu Tema Shalobim Mizufafim. I can still explain the Mishnah and leave out the fact that the Mishnah is talking about tarred barrels. Came under tone. If the old barrels have completely reached their saturation, then there's no additional absorption. That's the way Rashi learns it. The Taz says that for sure a barrel continues to absorb forever and ever, but once it's savea, then it starts being polate mibliyoso, the amount that it was bolea, and therefore there's no chisaron in the shemen. In other words, the walls of the barrel start spitting forth that which they absorbed in order to make room for that which they're absorbing, and at the end of the day, all these, the blia and the plata counter each other and cancel each other. The Mishnah records Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af ha-mocher shemen mizukok l'chavero kol yimos hashona hareza mekabel olav log u'mechza shmarim l'mea, which means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you sell oil that's pure to your friend, to the buyer, during the entire course of the year, the buyer understands that from a lug, from 100 lugim, he's going to only be provided with 98.5 lugim, because a lugu mechza is going to be sediments that subtracted from the volume of oil, and presumably the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say that he, the buyer, was interested in buying 100 lug of pure, unadulterated oil, and the seller has no right to subtract 1.5 lugim of sediment. What is the Yisoda Machlokas Amar Abaye? Kishetimtzi Lomar, if you want to really analyze this Machlokas, go down to the root, then Lidivrei Rabbi Yehuda Muto Li'arev Shmarim, Ulidivrei Chachamim Oso Li'arev Shmarim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the seller has the right to mix the sediments into the wine, even though, despite the fact that the buyer did not stipulate explicitly, because of the fact that the buyer did not fail to stipulate that he only wants to buy shemen mezukak, you know, pure virgin oil without any sediments in it, but nevertheless, the seller has the right to mix the shmonim, the shmarim, the sediments with the shemen. And what happens is that when the oil is stored in a barrel, then at some point, and this is going to happen as a natural process, the sediment settles towards the bottom of the barrel. And assuming that the shemen was in the barrel for a certain extended period of time, then again the shmarim are going to float down, so to speak, to the bottom of the barrel. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the seller has the right to mix the shmarim, to mix the sediments into the oil. And the reason for that is because the buyer did not stipulate that he wants pure oil. He bought just stam oil. But the Chacham say also li'arev shmarim, meaning that even though the buyer didn't stipulate that he wants pure oil without sediments, nevertheless, he bought it understanding that it would be pure oil, and therefore the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Yehuda, the phantom Chachamim, they maintain that the seller is not permitted to mix the sediment into the wine. That's not what the deal was all about. Abai goes on to explain this further. L'divri Rabbi Yehuda muto li'arev shmarim. Rabbi Yehuda says that the seller is allowed to mix the sediments into the oil, v'hainu taima, and for that reason, Rabbi Yehuda establishes in Amishnah de Mekabel that the buyer understands that there's going to be a subtraction here of 1.5 lug of sediment, the amar leh, because the seller has a right to say to the buyer, E boy le urevloch milo arvelacha. Since the deal was on regular oil, no stipulation to the contrary, therefore I have the rights to give you oil that's mixed up with sediments. And there's nothing legally preventing me, there's nothing illegal about actually putting a spoon into the oil and mixing the sediments from the bottom till they mix up with the oil as one entity. And therefore, Hashtanami, even though now I'm not actually mixing the oil, Kabil, accept the 98.5 pure lugim of pure oil and 1.5 lugim of sediment. So the Gemara is not happy with this. Why? The lemalei, the seller, the buyer has a right to turn back to the seller and say, look, e aravta le havi mizdavin li. If you would have mixed the sediment with the oil, then I could sell it as 100 lugim of oil. Meaning the buyer here is a middleman, and he's buying in order to sell. And he could sell 100 lugim of regular oil that's not pure oil. It has a mixture of sediment in it. But now that the sediments have floated to the bottom, have settled on the bottom of the barrel, and what are you doing? You're giving me 1.5 lug of sediment? What am I going to do? My evidle. I can't find a buyer, l'chudei lo mizdavin li. You know, people are not buying sediments from oil. Of course, Tosfos Divrei Maaseh L'Chudei asks the following question: why can't the buyer just take the 1.5 lug of shmarim and mix it himself? And the answer is that what he took, the buyer took from the seller, is smaller portions of oil in increments and in different intervals, one by one, and he would sell, you know, a certain percentage of lugim of oil that he took from the barrel, or he would consume them. And now what he's left with is pure shmarim. He has no oil to mix the shmarim into. And the Gemara answers, in order to explain Rabbi Yehuda and justify Yeshita Bebal Habayis Haskir, we're not talking about a middleman who sells the oil, and what's he going to do with 1.5 sediments, but rather we're dealing with a Baal Habayis who's buying oil for his own personal consumption. So we're not talking about the buyer as a middleman, as a chenvani. The nichale bitzila, he would like the oil to be pure, and therefore he, the buyer, accepts upon himself to take a little bit less oil, because the oil that he is getting, the 98.5, is mizukak, is absolutely pure. So Gemara says, "Valemale, can't the Baal Habayis turn to the seller and say, midalo arvisli, achule achlisli?" True, you had the right to mix the sediments with the oil, but you failed to do so, and therefore you revealed your intention that you were mochel me for that sediment, and therefore you have to give me male lugim, you have to give me 100 lug of pure oil. That's what a buyer wants for his home use. He's not interested in sediments. True, you could have theoretically given me the sediments, you know, earlier in the game, before they settled to the bottom, as they were part and parcel mixed with the rest of the oil, but you didn't do so. And the fact that you didn't do so means that you were mochel me, and you waived your rights to collect for 100 lug of non-pure oil, which included 1.5 lug of sediments, but you didn't exercise your right, and I'm not interested in anything but pure oil. You know, I'm not going to have oil with sediments in it mixed in my salad. And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, in order to appreciate Rabbi Yehuda, we have to know how he's consistent with his fundamental principle, de les le mechila. He doesn't hold it within the context of a sale that you include a factor called mechila. For example, if let's say a person sells something at a price and the price indicates that he was buying a lot more than he actually bought, so do you say that, well, forget it, well, again, do you say that the price indicates that he really is buying more than what's stipulated verbally or contractually? Or do you say, no, he was mochel? What's the case? Desnan, we have a mission in Bava Basra. Mochar lo es hatzemed. Tzemed is the word that literally means the yoke that's put on a tzemed, a pair of oxen. But the sale, again, was on the yoke and not on the oxen. Is according to Tanakhama, lo mochar lo es habokar. The sale does not include the bokar. The buyer, is paying an exorbitant amount of money, way beyond the value of the yoke. And the answer is, we're going to assume mechila. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama. The Mishnah gives a second case, mochar lo es habokar. The sale was on bakar, lo machar lo es hatzemet, and therefore the yoke is not included in the sale. And even though the price seems to reflect not only the value, the market value of the bakar, but also the tzemed, nevertheless we have to assume that the buyer was mochel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. There are situations in which, even though the mechira is on the tzemed, it includes the bakar. Even though the mechira was on the bakar, it includes the tzemed. Why? Shadamim modim, meaning the price that he pays demonstrates or proves what he had in mind to buy. He's not going to pay more than what he deserves to get. Ketzad, the Mishnah clarifies the case. Amar lo, the seller says to the buyer, Mechor li tzimdecha b'masayim zuz, sell me the yoke at a price of 200 zuz, that's an exorbitant price. Hadover yedusha ein tzemed b'masayim zuz, everybody and their uncle knows that the market value, the price that you pay for the yoke is not 200 zuz, and therefore there is no question, says Rabbi Yehuda, that in the mind of the buyer, he's paying an exorbitant amount because he's paying not only for the tzemed, but also for the bakar. And therefore, the seller agrees to sell not only the tzemed, but also the bakar. The Chacham omrim ein adomim raya. The Chacham say, we're not going to use the payment, the price that he's actually paying, as an indicator, but we're going to assume that since Lokeach realizes that for a tzemed he doesn't have to pay masayim zuz, but he's willing to do so, there's a built-in assumption of mechila, and the Lokeach, the buyer, was mochel to the mocher for the extra amount of money. And that's the way Rashi learns this sugya. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says that we establish the mechira, the terms of the sale and the scope of the sale in terms of what was sold, by the price that you're paying. And we're not going to say that there's some sort of kavana on the part of the buyer to be mochel the extra money unless he does so explicitly. And therefore, in the case of selling oil and the mocher did not mix the sediments into the oil, but he didn't say explicitly that he was willing to be mochel, and we're not going to say, therefore, that if the sale was on Stam Shemen without specifying Zakuk, that the seller was mochel on the 1.5 lug of sediments. As long as we haven't heard an explicit mechila, Rabbi Yud is saying there's no assumption of mechila. We're not going to use some sort of circumstantial evidence to shed a light and determine that there was a mechila, and therefore the mocher wants to sell 100 lug of stam shemen, which includes within it 1.5 lug of sediment. Abai now continues and clarifies the sheet of the chachamim in the Mishnah. L'divri chachamim asur li'arev shmarim. You're not allowed to mix the shmarim into the oil. Once the shmarim settle on the bottom of the barrel, you now have pure oil. Vainu taima d'lo makabel. The buyer is not willing to accept a lug emechs of shmarim. D'yomer lei, the buyer says to the seller, ibois laruve mi'avi sharis lach. You would have no right to mix the shmarim into the shemen. That's not allowed. The sale was on shemen, and now you're taking something that's not shemen, sediment, and you're mixing it into the shemen. Is hashtanami lo makabilna. Now, too, that you didn't mix the shmarim, I'm not willing to pay for the shmarim. I bought oil. I'm not going to accept the shmarim from you. The sale was on oil, and you have no right to mix the sediments into the oil, and therefore give me pure oil. The Gemara asks about Abaye's understanding of the machlokas. We can say the exact opposite. That would seem more logical, says Rav Papa. Here's how Rav Papa wants to present the machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda. L'divri Chachamim mutoli orev shmarim. Just the exact opposite of Abaye. The Chacham say that the mocher is allowed to mix the sediments. V'hainu taima d'lo makabel. Why is it that the buyer refuses to accept the sediments? The Omar lei midaloi ravtali achulei achlisle. This is the Chacham l'shitasam, that they accept mechila, the fact that you, the mocher, did not take advantage of your license to mix the sediment with the oil, indicates that you waived your rights to sell me oil with shemen, even though the deal would have allowed for that. So if you didn't mix it up, there's a gili das, you've revealed your intention that you don't want to sell me 100 lug of mixed shemen, but rather 100 lug of pure oil. And therefore you have to give me 100 lug of pure oil. But l'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, on the contrary, also li'arev shmarim, we do not allow the mocher to mix the sediments into the wine. V'hainu taima demekabel. And why do we assume, therefore, that the lokeach will accept 1.5 lug of shmarim? D'yomerle, the mocher says to the lokeach, iboyle ruve lo shari li liruve loch. If I would have wanted to mix the shmarim with the shemen, I'm not allowed to do so. That's prohibited. Is kabule lo mekablis? If you're not going to accept that 1.5 lug of shmarim, then I don't have a profit in this sale. Meaning, if the halacha doesn't allow me to mix the sediments together with the pure oil, then what's going to happen? We made a deal on 100 lug, and I'm going to have to give you 100 lug of pure oil. I have no margin of profit here because my profit comes from the 1.5 lug. And again, the Rishonim here discuss why is it that he has no additional profit? Can he charge more? And Tosus Dibra Maschil Zovun says that there were no other buyers in the marketplace who were willing to pay that price. Lomot ha-mocher limkor yosef biyoker, to pay high. So the only margin of profit is with this 1.5 lug of sediment. And the Gemara gives a little bit of a phrase here to dramatize that the seller certainly has to make a profit. Zavon v'zavin tagra ikri. Would you call a person who sells something and makes no profit on it a seller? If he has no profit, he's not a socher. That would be idiosyncratic. He's a fool. Person doesn't sell without a profit, and therefore it must be that you, the buyer, agreed to take the 1.5 out of the 100 lug as sediment, and that's where my margin of profit is built into the sale. So much for sediments. Now, there's something called pkatim. Pkatim means that not from the sediments themselves, but from the seeds of the oil, something rises to the top. That's called pkatim. Tana, we learned in a braisa. Echad halokeach v'echad hamafkid lipkotim. There's an absolute equation here between a buyer and a mafkid with regard to pkotim. And this is what the Gemara is going to analyze, this equation, and it doesn't really make any sense. My lipkotim, what din are you talking about that we equate the lokeach with the mafkid as far as pkotim? Ilema. Ki hechi de lokeach lo makabel pkotim. If you're going to tell me that the Bryce intends to focus on the sale, and the sale of oil does not include the pkotim, which means that the seller has to provide the buyer with oil without pkotim, whatever volume was ordered in the deal. And mafkid nami lo mekabel pkatim, that it means that when the shomer returns the shemen without, he has to return it without pkatim. The Gemara says that makes no sense. For lemale pkatoch mai I avid lahu, the shomer has a right to say to the mafkid, you gave me shemen in a way that there's pkatim. Hareishal cholafanecha, why do I have to suffer the loss of the pkatim? I should give you pure shemen without pkatim. So the equation now between lokeach and mafkid makes no sense, Ella, but let's turn around the other way. Ki hechi the mafkid mekabel pkatim. Maybe what the Bryce intends to say is the equation is from lokeach to mafkid. The mafkid is the primary case, and the mafkid will have to receive the pkatim. Lokeach also will have to receive pkatim. So the Gemara says, umi mekabel lokeach pkatim. I'm going to prove to you that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says the lokeach has to accept 1.5 lugim of sediment, he agrees that the lokeach doesn't have to accept pkatim. Vasanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo amru shemen achur el lemocher bolvat. The shemen that's got achur means it's got this scummy kind of pkatim on top from the seeds. That's not something that the lokeach has to take upon himself. That's the mocher's problem. Shaharei lokeach makabel of logu mechze shmarim. It's true, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the lokeach has to take upon himself out of 100 lug of shemen, 1.5 lug of shmarim, but below pkatim. He certainly has a right to demand shemen, which is pure. The 98.5 lugim of shemen is pure. It doesn't have the scummy surface pkatim, the residue of the olive seeds. In any event, we're clear now that on the one hand, the shomer is allowed to give back what he received from the mafkid with the pkatim, and the lokech has a right to refuse to accept shemen that's achur, that's polluted, so to speak, by this substance called pkatim. So there is no equation, and the brisa really makes no sense. And the Gemara answers, lo kasha. Ha di yoyevle zuze betishrei vikashakel mine benisan ki mida de tishrei. The brisa is talking about a case where the buyer has the same din as the mafkid. Why? Because the buyer paid for the oil in Tishrei, and he didn't pick it up till 6 months down the line in Nisan. But the deal was sealed, signed and sealed in Tishrei, and that's when he put down the money and gave the money over to the mocher. Ki mida de Tishrei. And therefore, we go by the midah of Tishrei. Now, shemen during the month of Tishrei is a cheaper kind of an oil. It has a mixture of pkatim in it, and therefore, the lokeach paid a lower price that reflects the fact that he accepts shemen with pkatim. Again, even though when it comes to Nisan time, by then the pkatim are removed and he's going to get pure shemen, but nevertheless, the price is going to reflect the Tishrei price of shemen with pkatim. But the brisa, which Rabbi Yehuda says that the lokeach doesn't have to, you know, the mocher has no right to pawn off the pkatim onto the lokeach. The lokeach doesn't have to accept pkatim. That's the yoevle zuze ben Nisan. The deal was clinched and the money was paid in Nisan. Because shakel minei ben Nisan. And within a short period of time, right after the money was paid, he, the lokeach, picks up his shemen. He receives his shemen. Kimida the Nisei, according to the value of Nisan. Shemen is valued at a high price in Nisan because the shemen already, has no pkatim in it. In other words, it now had a chance over the last 6 months to become pure oil. So therefore, the buyer who paid the mocher the higher price of Nisan, even if he didn't stipulate that he wants Shemen Mizukok, he wanted Shemen Mizukok, because that's the midah of Nisan. And therefore, in such a case, Lokech is not forced to pay to receive Pkatim. In Mirtz Hashem, in the next Shia, we'll start the Mishnah here on the bottom of Daf Mem Amid Beis.